This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the mind shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, my name is Emily Galindo, and I am your host today. Here at Biz Talk, we are focused on helping you be more intentional, more efficient, more effective in your business, thus making a bigger impact in how you live life and the performance on the bottom line. So welcome to Biz Talk. We are excited for our show today. This is a wonderful episode if you are interested in starting a business, have no idea that you went out of your 9-to-5 and you want to start something new, but you just don't know what to do, and maybe some questions that you could be asking yourself to make those decisions. So we are excited to welcome Bruno Gonzalez, the owner of Precision Cleaning Pros. He is a young entrepreneur and new in business, and he's here to help us go through that process of walking us through how he made the decision to start his business here in Houston. So welcome, Bruno.
Hey, Emily. Thank you for having me on. Excited to share the information and knowledge that I've acquired.
You got it. I mean, this is why do people think it's so challenging?
Well, definitely, I don't think there's a lot of information out there in terms of how to start your own business. It's something that they don't teach you in school, and it's something that you have to take the initiative and go out and try to learn it yourself. For the most part, if you don't have a parent or a close friend or a mentor to show you the way to start.
Okay, so what would you say, what was the thing that like helped you get going on that path?
I would say a lot of podcasts, entrepreneurial podcasts, they give you a lot of great information on there, and then you just go and research it on your own. I think that's a solid path to start if you don't have somebody to guide you.
Okay, and so that was the way that you went, right?
Yeah.
And what are some of the, so what steps did you take to figure out what kind of business you wanted to start?
So the steps that I took, I utilized a lot of the tools that people don't recognize are right in your hand. I use my cell phone a lot. There's a lot of websites that have information on businesses. They show you the whole field, how much revenue is in that industry, predictions of how much it's going to increase by, and it's all there. You can just research a little bit. If you have some ideas on the business you want to start, you just research into that specific field and you'll find a lot of information on there.
And you ended up with a commercial cleaning company.
Correct.
And what were some of the other things that you were tossing between, I guess, in this market? Because I know that service-based companies can be extremely profitable, but yeah. What were you looking at?
So I had a couple of other options that I was looking into. One of them was epoxy flooring. It was very easy and not easy at the same time. It takes skills to do, and you have to know what you're doing. But as far as labor work, it's fairly easy. The pay to the spending on the supplies was great. You get a lot of money doing it. Another one was home media systems.
Oh, okay.
Personal, like, theaters, private theaters in the homes. I used to do that as a job.
Like automation, like automating the house.
Yeah, automating the house, right. Like shutters, a whole studio in your home, home movie studio, surround sound speakers all around the house, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then cleaning?
And then the cleaning company, yes. It just had the best return rate for initial investment. It had very low startup costs. The insurance on it is very low compared to a lot of these other businesses that you can start that require really high insurance coverage rates.
Okay. And you were working in a 9-to-5 while researching all of this?
Correct. I was working as a senior operations supervisor at a warehouse. And yeah, at any spare time on my lunch break, on the small breaks that I would get, I'd do some more research on it.
That is, I mean, a true entrepreneur right there. Like on my lunch break, I would do these things. So when you finally had done the research, you literally just one day said, I'm done here.
Yes, I started seeing that I wasn't getting compensated for the effort that I was putting in. And I started looking at other paths of, I'm a very hard worker, so I just decided to take matters into my own hands, and being a business owner is one of the best ways to get exactly the return of the for the effort that you're putting in.
I think that that sentiment speaks probably volumes to some of the people in our audience. I don't know. I'm sure there's a huge population of our community that is out there working really hard and trying as best they can and does not feel like they're being appreciated or recognized for that effort and wish that they could do and be as brave as you to like step out and go, I'm done. I'm gonna take matters in my own hands.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that a lot of people struggle with that. It's not something easy, especially if you have a family to support. You're not guaranteed that it's gonna be a success. So best piece of advice is doing your research.
Okay. And so how would, let's say, from start date or like you filed the LLC to you were able to support your family or like when, how, what kind of gap are we looking at there?
Yeah, so fortunately I had a small savings. So I would say about, took me 3 months to create my websites, to file the LLC, to get my EIN number, to do extra research on the other things besides actually starting the business. Took about 3 months for me to start actually seeing my clients coming in and contacting, sending out quotes and that stuff.
So you would definitely say 3 months. What? Why is everything in finance? Our finance experts come on and they're like, gotta have 3 months of savings. Everybody says that it's because life, that's how quick.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like a lot of money or a lot of savings, but that's how quick life can change. It's just 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases it changes even quicker, which I thought I was gonna get a return way sooner than I saw it. And I think that's the challenge. People are just not sure when that next paycheck is gonna come. And that's the scariest thing, especially when you have a family to support.
Absolutely. So what have you, I mean, aside from just like doing the research and the numbers mm-hmm. and things like that, what are some things that Precision Cleaning Pros has, that you've designed in the business to make yourself stand out and do things differently to be able to make that return happen faster?
Yeah, so I started in the residential cleaning field. It was very tough to get a lot of clients booked. So I started looking at alternatives and I landed on commercial cleanings. It's easier to get one client that you service all month than to try to fill your schedule with 100, right? So some of the things that I did was looking into specific niche cleaning for dental offices, which is not something that a lot of cleaning companies in Houston are doing right now, being more catered specifically to certain fields such as medical field, strictly offices, dental offices. I don't see a lot of that in Houston. It provides the best value for the customer when you're a specialist instead of just general cleaning.
Right. And so I'm assuming you've taken your research mindset to learning more about their equipment, the chemicals you use and things like that to be able to be a niche in the medical field.
Correct. Along with that, becoming a specialist, you have to do your research. Obviously, it's a big talking point right now. The research that the doctors, you want to be able to look like the expert in the room in regards to what you're doing in there and providing such things as safety data sheets, showing them that you're compliant with CDC instructions, OSHA. A lot of things that I'm working on right now is getting some of the certifications that just make me look much more of an expert than just the lingo and the data that I can show.
And the amount of effort that, do you feel like that translates not just from the research perspective, but obviously into the team and the culture and the delivery of the product and service or the service?
Yeah, of course, for sure. Me coming from a 9-to-5, I see how I wasn't getting the return for the effort. So that allowed me to see my employees from that lens as well. I understand that they have financial challenges that they're trying to overcome, and that's what my goal is, to show them, you know, the proper compensation for the effort that they're putting in. Me personally being in it and understanding that challenge, giving them the opportunities.
We have had that. I think that's a repeating like mantra on this show is that talking to your front line, like investing in them and learning from them and coming from that perspective and being able to look at that they're people and trying to overcome finance, like that when we come at it from that perspective, they work harder for you, they deliver a better service to your customer, they take care of the people who pay the bills, which is the customer, right?
Correct, yes. One of the solid foundations for having a successful business is your employees. Without them, your business cannot operate. So you have to keep them happy, not just financially, but give them motivation. Show them that you're just another person and you're trying to help them out as much as they're helping you out. You got to understand that it's a symbiotic relationship.
And goes towards your relationship with the client as well, right? Because that's,
exactly.
So if everybody's, it's a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Yeah, it's like a triangle, you know, and your employees help you, you get the client happy, and everybody wins.
I love that. And so if people in Houston wanted to maybe reach out to you, if they want that kind of symbiotic relationship with a good commercial cleaning company, yeah. How can some of the folks in Houston get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me with any of my contact information. I have my work email. I have a LinkedIn page. I have a big LinkedIn business page as well for Precision Cleaning Pros LLC. Personal contact number is the easiest way to reach me. Shoot me a text and I'll definitely see it instantly.
So I see here on your LinkedIn page that, I mean, we said commercial cleaning is pretty vague, but mm-hmm. in the medical field, I mean, you're really focused on dental offices, yeah?
Yes, I have to do a lot of reworking on some of the things because I wear many hats in my company. I do a lot of the things.
Most of us do, yeah.
So I have to take some time and, you know, remake the pages that I have on there.
Sure, but I mean, I just wanted our viewers to understand that, like, the niche that you are really focused on is being precision.
Correct.
In dental cleanings and yeah. dental offices.
Dental cleanings, medical facilities, really going into those niche cleanings and becoming the expert and the go-to person in Houston for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your knowledge with us today. If people in Houston want a good company, the Precision Cleaning Pros is an amazing company to work with. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Emily.
And stick with us. We'll be right back with our next guest and helping you impact your business on the bottom line.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to BizTalk and any of our Now Media Television favorites, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you are just now joining us, I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we just got done talking with Bruno Gonzalez about starting a brand new business, not having any idea where to go and what to do, and being successful at creating it, finding all those resources. And now we're going to transition to our next guest, Talia Williamson, who is the owner of Tula 2 Aesthetics, which she just moved here from South Africa. And so we're going to talk to her about starting a new business in a new country. Being that we're a bilingual program and that we have lots of viewers from all over the world, we would love to have her perspective on what it's like to transition to the United States and starting a new business here. So welcome, Talia.
Thank you, Emily. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Like, this is, especially here in Houston, right? We are a multicultural place that have people coming from all over the world. And you didn't move here for your job. You moved here for your husband's. And so for all the wives out here maybe that are also in that situation, how was that transition and it just in general for the life, for your life?
Wow. It was quite the cultural shock. We are used to having nannies at home. Mm-hmm. So they help clean our houses, cook our food, do our laundry, all of that. And yeah, coming here was just a bit of a shock in that regard, like having to do everything ourselves and that sort of thing. So yeah, that was...
Well, you don't have to, but it does come at a good price here.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. It was a non-negotiable in the first few months. We were like, no, I did everything myself. And then as we got settled, we now get a lady in once every like 2 weeks. So
right.
Yeah, that helps a lot. So I guess, yeah, that was a big cultural shock. And then I guess it's also just navigating the kids, right? I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old boy and boys, and it was just, you know, as moms, you always worry more than I guess you need to, but it was like the concern about them adjusting into new schools and, you know, making new friends and all of that. But they have adapted seamlessly, so all that worry was for nothing.
Yes, it usually is. Yeah.
But I must say, moving here to Houston has been amazing. The people are incredible. and they put a smile on my face every day. I go to the HEB and I come out smiling because someone is just like, they go out of their way just to say something amazing or make some conversation that is just, it's just wonderful. So yeah, I've made some wonderful friends in a very short space of time.
Good.
So, yeah, it's been wonderful.
And so all of that, that is a lot to transition, right? Like, the entire culture is completely different, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Aside from the kind people.
Yes.
So then you just added one, you just wanted to add more to work to your plate and start a business as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, one doesn't want to just sit around and fold clothes all day, right? No. I'm joking. the point of coming here was to, you know, live the American dream and, you know, capitalize on the land of opportunity. And so that's why I decided to get stuck into work again.
Okay, and what kind of work do you do?
So I am a neurotoxin specialist. I just focus solely on, everyone will know it as Botox.
Okay, yes. But that's the brand.
The brand is Botox, neurotoxins are the substance that
like
we,
the category of that paralyzes the face, if you will.
There we go.
But there's lots of different brands that do that.
Indeed.
But the most popular that we all know of is Botox.
Yeah, that was right. One of the first. Yes.
Okay, so then that's what your specialty is helping us look young and vibrant.
Young, refreshed, and let's, you know, relax those lines that time has etched over the years, and just give you a bit more of a youthful, less angry appearance, I guess. As we get older, everything just seems to go down and, you know, gravity is not our friend as we get older. So we try to defy gravity with Botox.
Absolutely. And we appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So how, and that was a business that you were in South Africa, right?
Yes, I was copywriting and very much involved in the aesthetic industry back then. Yes.
Okay. And how different is there? Just a sheer cultural difference here in the United States versus in South Africa and how we view the product or the industry?
Yes. So I would say on par with regards to Botox is, you know, I'm finding that quite similar. But in the filler area is quite different here. While I don't do filler, I get a lot of questions about filler, and I have noticed a trend in the industry here being there's a lot of overfilling going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, where I am starting to think that while everyone, you know, has been overfilled, there's a trend for people wanting to go more natural again.
Yes,
which is something I absolutely advocate for and
right
to. I don't want, if my clients come in wanting more and I don't feel they need more, I'm going to say no, because your face is my work and I don't want someone coming to them like, who did your Botox? Let me not go to them.
Like, that kind of makes me think of you know, when you see people out, like of girls and whatnot, and there's one woman there that looks probably not as flattering. She's in an outfit that's not as flattering as she should be. Like, nobody told you. Nobody said anything to you.
Exactly.
Like, you're the person who gets to save us from ourselves.
Exactly. There we go. I'm that person. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I've seen lots of videos online of, like, overfilling and them coming home to their significant other and it not going well and being like, you cannot go back by yourself.
No, 100%. Yes.
Like, so I appreciate that about you, that you will stop people from themselves.
Yes. No, absolutely. I mean, I do get clients coming in asking for various treatments and I ask them why. Why do you want that treatment?
Right.
And eventually I don't end up doing the treatment for them because I say that, you know, there's just no need for it.
Right.
You know, unless it's really bothering you, I really don't see that you need it. Let's rather focus on another area. And down the line, if you feel like you still need it, think about it and we can...
Right.
We can go ahead.
How has that transition been? Like, understanding women of the United States versus the women in South Africa and our needs, wants?
I would say, you know, I'd say women are inherently quite universal.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I would say that. Yes. And a lot, no one really wants anyone to know. that you've had Botox.
Yes, you know? Which is why you have the Tula, which is why your business is called Tula Too, yes?
Yes, exactly.
And tell the audience what that means.
So basically, Tula Too is a Zulu lullaby in South Africa, and it means hush. So it's kind of like a two-folded metaphor here, in that it's hush that I won't tell. I'm your injector. I'm your secret keeper. And in the next breath, it's also, you know, that kind of like hush, like no one will know, because it's done so naturally that, you know, people will guess what happened because you look so amazing, but they won't know that you've had a Botox procedure.
I love that.
Yes.
And you are a beautiful walking billboard to show that is true. Do you inject yourself?
I do.
That's fantastic.
I do. It's like, you know, like I explain it as like, you know, when you do a braid for someone and then you try to do it for yourself.
Right.
Or vice versa. It's completely like the other way around. So, yeah.
Well, they say that with like a hairdresser, and you go in and you're like, that guy has a great haircut. I want to go to that guy. And you're like, no. You actually are supposed to, who cut your hair? I want to do that.
Yes.
So it's nice that you do your own. So you can be like, no, this is my work.
Yes. Right. No, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a walking billboard.
Advertisement.
Yeah,
yes, you are a walking
billboard. I've got to try.
Of course. What would you say is the most difficult thing about business from South Africa versus business here?
Oh, definitely knowing people and word of mouth, mm-hmm. referrals. Because, I mean, growing up in South Africa, you know, I grew up in the same area. I knew everyone in the same schools that we all grew up in. We all went to university together. We came back home. We were working together. I mean, so, like, the amount of people that the network I had was amazing. So that was just, you know, Talia's doing this, word of mouth, referrals, and it just came so naturally. I didn't even have a social account.
Right.
And then moving here was a completely different scenario altogether, and it was just trying to understand the landscape and, like, you know, how do people do business here? Like, how, you know, what is the etiquette like? And then also trying these different networking events. I don't even know in South Africa if we have networking events, because I've never had to attend one, you know?
Right.
So yeah, and then it's just getting yourself out there and trying all these different networking events and just trying to understand what is this. And then everyone's got like a one-liner, and they say their pitch, and at the end they're like, you know, go slow. No. This is our thing. And then they sit down and I'm like, I don't have a slogan. What am I going to say? You know? And yeah, it was just a very, that was like a big wake up call. In the fact that like I had to actually get out there.
Put yourself out there.
And think out of the box and try and differentiate myself, because it is a saturated market.
It absolutely is, especially here in Houston, like we're the plastic surgery hub of
there
the South.
Go.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it is important, which is good, because you've joined one of those networking organizations.
Yes.
The best one.
The best. Hashtag NIA.
Thank you. And you're doing things like this. I don't know if I've ever seen a Botox injector on television before. So
amazing.
Not that I recall, anyway.
Okay.
So, and if people wanted to get a hold of you on your socials, how can they find you?
Yeah, it's at Tula Too Aesthetics. And yeah, you can, my contact details are on there. Bookings are through, I am a licensed and certified injector. So I work under a medical director, and we go through a little process that you will apply for on the MySpa Live app, where you'll actually get in touch with a tele doctor, and they'll do a 5-minute tele consult with you just to make sure that you are healthy enough to undergo the treatment and make sure everything's above board. So yeah, just if you want to get hold of me on Instagram, DM me and I can let you know how to go about it. Our website is in progress, so that'll go onto the page soon enough, and then yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your perspective on doing business in another country and keeping our secrets. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back right after this.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we've had a great show today talking about how to start a new business from scratch, how to start a new business in a new country, and now we are here to talk about how to generate revenue in that business. And we've got an amazing guest, Rob Ficken, who is an expert at Sandler sales trainer. He's here to talk to you guys all about how to help increase the amount of sales you're doing and how quickly you do them. So welcome, Rob, to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be here. Luckily, sales can also be sold internationally. So if you are starting a business anywhere else in the world, it's the same stuff.
It is the same stuff. I mean, this was more about coming here and how the cultural shift. But I mean, this Sandler training would bridge the gap on that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell the audience a little bit about Sandler training. What is that?
So Sandler sales training, almost back it up 50 years ago. So David Sandler developed Sandler sales training. And it's a psychology-based sales methodology. So it's not really scripts and tools and, you know, tricks. It's all about interpersonal communication, having effective conversations between buyer and seller, and ultimately building more transparency, trust, and closing more sales, having an effective conversation towards sales. And, you know, we always say it's for sales, but you can use it at home. I half joking, more serious, say I use Sandler with my wife.
Right. You know, we said before the show, right? This is all, it's all a sale.
Yes. Yeah.
What's the difference? This is so off script, but what's the difference between sales and manipulation in this particular scenario with your spouse?
No. And I think there's a level of like honesty and integrity there, because you're not trying to trick somebody into, you know, leading them down a path. It's, hey, we're walking through that path together. And knowing that we're following, you know, it's your benefit. We're just following my process. And I'm going to be transparent with that. And I'm going to ask questions not to trick you into a way, but because I actually genuinely want to know or need to know. And so there's a level of just honesty and integrity in there. So,
which I think is where sales gets a bad name, right? Is that we're trying to force you into a product or service that's not meant for you, but I need the paycheck, so you're going to buy it anyway.
Absolutely. That's the stereotypes have always been there of the sleazy car salesman,
right?
You know, that is just looking to close a sale and take a little bit of money for himself. And it exists, yes, but that's the good people, and you'll be able to spot them real quickly. That's not who they are.
I don't think that you spot them. You actually feel the difference.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
as the receiver of the sales process,
absolutely,
you know whether or not you can feel it. And that's, I think, what Sandler does the best is like helping people feel. So feel their consumers leave with a positive feeling versus what just happened. Somebody just took advantage of me.
No, and there is, because it's psychology, it's not, it's tapping into right brain, left brain, you know, analytics versus emotions, and not tricking people into feeling an emotion, but understanding what emotion is driving their behavior and ultimately to make a decision. And it's not always a yes, can be a no, and you need to be comfortable with that no. But the emotion behind that is psychological, and so tapping into that in a genuine way where you're asking the right questions will help anybody, not just salespeople, but especially salespeople, close more business more effectively, more transparently, and ultimately build better long-lasting relationships between your clients and yourselves that will just ultimately make you more money.
Right.
You know?
I think, and one of the tips you gave on the podcast, but you just mentioned it now, was about the no. I think one of the things that helps you close more deals is that you get a no faster, and that helps you close more deals because it helps you move on to another possible really great opportunity versus us sitting here following up a million times, hoping that it all turns into something that isn't, it was a no from the jump, but nobody had the guts to say it. if you could just tell me that now, I can now transfer that energy onto a prospect that really might
absolutely
be interested, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So the upfront contract in any conversation, be it an intro, be it a, you know, reconnect, or, you know, existing or new client, whatever it is, incorporating that upfront contract invites a yes or no, good or bad outcome. And the customer being comfortable saying no is what we're looking for, because that's where they are demonstrating trust in us having this conversation. They're committed to giving that no, and that's a level of buy-in to the conversation you're about to have. And without that, you're just, like you said, you're just chasing them. You've given all this information, you're following up, I'll send you an email, leave you a voicemail, knock on your door or whatever, send you a fruit basket. It sucks. Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, I know that the numbers used to be 7, how many times you have to follow up with somebody. Now, because of so many distractions that we have, the number is 15. I know, isn't that crazy? Ugh. You have to follow up 15 times before you can get an answer,
ugh,
let alone a no or a yes.
I want to say that's no. Like, that should not
times.
Be the case. That should not be the case.
I know, yeah. It really shouldn't. I think you should get a decision. You should always know where you are in the process.
Absolutely.
At the end of every single conversation, we should all know where we're going next.
Yes.
It's either we're having another meeting, we're bringing more people in,
yep,
everybody's involved. Like, there's something about an agreement where the next step is.
And that's where I think there is obviously a spectrum of selling cycles,
sure,
where, you know, some software sales might be, hey, this is our normal process of integration and, you know, trialing and stuff takes months or years, versus like retail, it's once.
Here's the product, right.
Yeah, it's the product and that. But, you know, a two-call close, I've talked to a lot of people that are two-call close. And that's great, because they know exactly what they're going to talk about and hear. And then the next time it's a yes or a no. And so I really want to encourage anybody that is having to follow up 15 times. I'm sure they're lost in that process. And so incorporating some Sandler methodology in there, it's their process, our methodology. And there is plenty of distinction to talk about there, but that's where knowing where they are in their process with our methodology and where that fits in will help them define their path a little bit more and stop following up, stop leaving voicemails, stop sending fruit baskets, stop doing that.
Stop.
No.
It's cringy.
Yeah, it really is.
It's for us and for them.
Yeah.
Like, you're
and,
like, oh man, this guy again, all right.
Or they know, like, ah, I'm going to get another fruit basket this year. Like, every time this year, after the third call, you know, Joe Schmo is going to send me a fruit basket. They're in control of that process now.
Yeah.
And so people that are doing that, call me. please what? Call me.
Yeah, please call Rob, because that does not have to be the way it is.
Help you.
With the clients that you work with, what would you say is like the number one issue you see in a sales organization?
Yeah.
Whether it's one person, 50 people, like when you walk in, you're like, what's the most common? You're like, aha, this is what we're doing. Aside from following up 15 times.
Yeah. Now, and I think a lot of companies, big or small, regardless of industry, have multiple suites of products or spectrum of the same product. Upselling and cross-selling is difficult for a lot of people, because, you know, especially when you're going into even the warmest of leads or a really good relationship, that customer says, I'm calling you for this one thing, and you're, you know, excited to get that one sale, and you are saying, hey, I'm a plumber and I'm gonna sell this faucet. But expanding that, hey, that faucet's actually connected to this line that, you know, as I was inspecting it, saw this other thing, and hey, it's not just this faucet, it's actually your water heater or something else. You need to, A, have the expertise to know how your products integrate in an effective way that helps people, knowing how your customers can benefit from that, but then also having the right conversation to upsell and cross-sell effectively. And all of that comes back to conversation, asking the right questions, understanding your customer and what is driving their decision-making process. And the people that aren't doing that well are just getting that one sale, and so they're having to sell that one thing a million times versus, hey, let me sell once and I'm just going to sell a million different things in that one call because I've had such an effective conversation, built trust, and really understood my customer.
Right. And that, I mean, I had that experience in my own sales career just because you would go in and they'd be like, hey, I need a new website. And you're like, okay, well, help me understand. Why do you think that you need a new website?
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that, right? Not yeah. like, oh, okay, let me just sell you the website that you ordered. Like, okay, no, you actually need all of these other suite of products because they're going to do yeah. the actual thing that you want, which is your phone to ring. The website's not going to make your phone ring.
Yeah.
These other things will, right? Yeah. Like, but you have to ask those questions and get... What did you Google to come up with the solution Absolutely. Of why I'm here?
And it's a lot of customers think they need one thing. They want that one thing, but it's not necessarily about what they want. It's what they need. And a lot of people that are experts in whatever field or industry or service, whatever it is, they're the experts. They should be helping lead that process
right.
to understand and better serve your customers, because the people that are just like, I know they want this, they know what they want. I don't want to bother them by asking questions when they've already told me what they want. They're afraid, they're timid, and they're not in control of that mm-hmm. process, that cycle. And so they need to get a little bit back, balance control so that there's equal business stature between expert to expert.
Right, yeah. right. Because I think that we sometimes have that framework of I'm just the salesperson
yeah.
and I'm here to sell, do a job and get a paycheck versus I'm an expert in this field. Yeah. You are not, I'm not an expert in being a plumber and you are not an expert in digital marketing. So yeah. like, let's bring these together yeah. so that we can come up with the outcome that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
All right. So if people wanted to talk more with you about this, how can they get a hold of you?
Website and email. Everything's on the website, including some of our content. We have white papers, my phone number's on there. There's a lot of information on there. And the easiest thing is to just give me a call and let's have a conversation.
Okay, great. Well, if you'll hang out with me for one more segment, I would love to talk to you about that methodology.
Absolutely.
All right, so stick around. After this commercial break, we will talk with Rob about the methodology that closes more deals faster. We'll be right back.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I've got Rob Ficken, Sandler sales training expert here with us to help us convert more sales, do it faster, easier, and ultimately make more money. So welcome back to the show, Rob.
Hi, thanks.
You bet. So in our previous segment, we had talked about the difference between the method, or we had brought up methodology versus sales process.
Yep.
So add a little color to that. Help us understand yeah. what's the difference.
And this is not any official number, but I like to say that we take you up to 80%, and that last 20% is you. And that can be your role, your personality, your quirks, your anecdotes, and basically your company as well, your service. Because if I'm defining your actual sales process of, hey, you know, a start here, intro here, then we, you know, this step of the process, and then close at this stage, that's very industry, product, role specific. But the methodology behind it is foundational. It's how you're having those conversations. And so each of those steps in your sales process incorporates the Sandler methodology. And so the difference there being that how you're asking questions, how you're having a conversation, how you're starting with an upfront contract. Those are methodologies to implement at every step in the process.
Okay, and so how do your clients adjust to, it sounds like you're saying that I can still be me, but I still need to, but then I need to incorporate maybe a different way of asking a question.
Yeah.
What about adoption?
Yeah.
What does adoption look like for like an old timer, if you will?
Old dog, new tricks.
Yeah.
And that's always, it's up to the individual. You know, people that are willing to learn, willing to better, people that are a little bit modest that say, hey, I'm not doing the best I can. So there's,
or I'm great and I want to do more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, for people, a high performer, that would be my aim. Yeah. Like, I can do this with half the effort. Let's do that.
Absolutely. Let me reinvest in myself a little bit. You know, and that's where there's a spectrum of people that adopt better than others. But it's the biggest thing for us is it's not a crash course. Sandler is not a one and done. I you know, just poured water under a sponge and now that sponge is soaking full with Sandler water. It's sales reinforcement as much as sales training. So the adoption doesn't happen in the first class or the second class or the first 10-week essential cycle. It's a longer term relationship that you have to incorporate these things over time and check and readjust and pivot as you go. Because if I know as a young salesperson, I was like, oh, okay, I think I know it. And then I kind of change and it becomes a little Robert Ficken adjusted methodology in there. And complacency is always lurking around every corner where you're going to just fall back into your own habits.
Right.
So one of the most important things to us is continuous improvement, continuous engagement. And so that adoption happens over a much longer period compared to other sales trainings I've been through and even just other learnings I've been through.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, in general, in my experience with corporates and things like that, you go to a sales training, typically it's a weekend thing or a 3-day long thing that's like jam-packed, get the sponge, yeah. Go out into the field and have a great, yeah. And good luck to you.
Bagels and orange juice and muffins, and you're just sitting there in a cold conference room, just
learning the new sales tricks that we're learning, and all. And I'm not saying that none of them are valid. I think I've always walked away with something like, oh, I could try that. But what I do is I'm like, I'll try that. I don't know if I tried it or not. I didn't record whether or not it worked or not, and then I went back to what I normally do because that's just the easiest thing to do.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and you know, when you learn anything in school too, you're gonna learn a little bit at a time, and then you build upon it over the course of a year or a semester or multiple years. You know, university programs, your major is 4 years plus, you know, and then even post-grad, whatever. It's a continuous improvement. And so that just like I personally experienced there, where that workshop just doesn't change who you are. And what we want to do is build not you into a Sandler robot, but have a foundation of Sandler. And a lot of people I've met that have known Sandler before even I knew Sandler, that learned Sandler at the beginning of their career and have gone on beyond sales, they're like, I still use Sandler. I love Sandler. It's part of my conversation practices and how I run my business, or, you know, how I communicate with my partner at home. It's the best thing for integration and adoption is that long-term behavior and attitude and technique change.
If you could coach the audience today and just give them like one actionable thing that they could implement into their sales process or in their sales methodology, their conversation, that would make a noticeable difference, what would be the thing that you would coach our audience to do?
We're going to have to do this a million times. You're going to have to ask me that a million times because there's going to be something new all the time. Because I'm also like realizing, hey, there's something new I can always do that is Sandler that I need to rebuild myself. But one of the things that just popped into my mind that I think is a great one is when you're asking a question, open versus closed-ended questions, not a, is this a good quote, but how does this quote look? The slight differentiation between those two questions that ultimately you're looking for some positive reaction, is this a good quote, is yes or no. And then you're gonna have to follow up with why versus how does this quote look, is they have to give some explanation. It's more open-ended where it begets a little bit more conversation, a little bit more detail. I think you could even improve upon that and say there's better ways to ask how a quote looks, but when you're asking any question, think about it being, is it a yes or no question? Get rid of that. And is it an open-ended question? How am I actually asking that question that promotes conversation, promotes them to actually think and indulge in a little bit more thought of, to share. Have them share a little bit more information while you ask a question. Ask with intention behind it too.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to just, for our audience sake, just reiterate that asking questions is actually the
period.
Ask questions, period. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, I think. Yeah. I see it happen all the time. The feature. Like, here, let me just tell you all of these things about my product, my company, my service, and you haven't asked one question.
No. I don't know.
I don't care about any of the things you just said. Yeah. You don't even know if they do care.
No, and we should be asking because we care.
We should care.
Yeah, I think you said before you tell me what you said before. We're doing something because we care.
Oh, like that people, like if you get nervous, like while I'm on TV, or if I get nervous when I'm speaking, or if you get nervous before a sales meeting, it genuinely is because you care. You care how you show up. You care whether or not it makes an impact. You care whether or not you're going to make a difference in this person's life based off of your service.
Yeah.
So if you care, if you're nervous and you are all worked up about it, it's because you care. Good for you.
Yeah. And I think to that point, when you're asking questions, they should be intentional. And if you're just running through a checklist of hey, I have to ask this question, I have to ask this question, I have to ask this question, you don't care at that point.
Right.
You know, you need to have some genuine curiosity, some genuine interest, and some humility to remove yourself from the equation. Hey, this is not about me getting the commission, getting the sale, getting the revenue. This is about helping the customer because they need it. And there's a genuine selflessness in that.
Right, yeah. Right. And I always hope that people you only help salespeople. Is that everybody?
Everybody is a seller to some degree. You asked no in the question. Not a genuine question.
You shouldn't ask questions you don't know the answers to.
No, but it is one of those things that everybody does have the ability to take some of what we're doing and incorporate it into some of their professional and personal life. And I definitely don't want to be a therapist and train people personally, but in your professional career, you know, regardless of the role, there are ways to improve communication. So if you're in whatever role, give me an example.
If you are the middleman, like operations manager for a furniture store.
There you go. Yes. You are probably working with vendors and scheduling time with your employees and maybe managing benefits. You need to understand, you need to be able to have good relationship with your vendors. So having a better dialogue with your vendors, you might be getting then better contracts, deals, you know, with your employees are then benefiting, and also understanding, hey, operationally, how are we structuring this so that employees are not bogged down by, you know, XYZ scheduling or...
Right, because then when the salesperson goes to make a sale and the furniture is not there because the vendor didn't show up, like, everything works together.
But everything we have to be works able to together. So, pull that off the cuff.
Look at you, there we go. There. Yeah, that's how good you are. All right, so if people wanted to get a hold of you to talk about more about Sandler Training, because it's a process. It really is a school that's brought into your organization to help improve communication, improve revenue, improve
a little bit of culture too.
Culture. Yeah. So if people wanted to talk to you about that, what's the best way that they get a hold of you? Yeah.
My website, and I think we're going to post that somewhere. If I can just go right here, it's right there.
Yeah, it'll be under there.
But it's got a lot of information on Sandler. My contact info is on there. There's also some white papers. Look for your industry or your role. There's some great examples in there. Dig around, but ultimately, I would love to have a conversation.
Thank you so much. I mean, this is one of my favorite topics, and it's so important, as we just described, across all places, communication within your team, within your family, and ultimately your bottom line. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this segment or this episode of Biz Talk. It's been a wonderful time getting to share with you all how to improve your business and make it more efficient so that you can live a better life. So thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.